Malachi is right before Matthew. Right before Matthew. And just going to spend a moment there, just getting a concept from there. And then we'll jump to the New Testament. Malachi, chapter 2, and verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Hath not God created us? Then why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, and with weeping, and with crying out, inasmuch as he regardeth not the offering any more, or receive it with the good of your hand. Now 14 is around a God's basically disciplining them for worshiping the gods and profaning things. And then he says, yet ye say, wherefore, or why? Because of what? Ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been a witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. It is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. They said, why is this happening? I don't understand why this is happening at all. I don't understand why this is happening. And then go forward to chapter 3. In verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. And ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse. Verse 3. And, in chapter 3, in verse 8 and 9. So a couple times God's saying, you did this thing wrong here. This is what you did wrong. And in both those times, God, they say, what did we do? We didn't know we did anything wrong. And if you've dealt with people and you've been a parent or you've worked with people very long in your life, you'll realize people sometimes do not realize they even did anything wrong. They have no idea. And, I want to talk about today about checking your conscience. Checking your conscience. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the Word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the people. We thank you for church, Lord. You established a wonderful thing when you established a church, Lord. It's a great organization that you founded, that you bought with Jesus' own blood. And we thank you for the church, Lord. We pray, Lord, that tonight as your plan is that a man of God preaches the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the people of God. We pray that happen according to your will tonight. And we ask you to help us. We ask for empowerment. We ask for clarity. We ask for wisdom. We ask for help, Lord. We humbly come before you, knowing without you we can do nothing. Natural man understandeth not the things of God. They're foolishness unto him. We know these things and believe these things, Lord. And we accept them, that we in our flesh can't reach the spiritual realm. So we ask now that you would help us and speak to us. I don't deserve to have your power. I don't deserve for you to speak through me. I don't deserve to be your spokesman, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you've called me. I thank you that I have the Word, and thank you seem to have laid a message on my heart. And I just pray tonight it would come out clearly in what you want, and we would hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of times people don't know what they did wrong. What did I do? And sometimes it's screaming obvious what they did to you, and it's not screaming obvious to them. Or sometimes somebody else says, you did this wrong, and it's not screaming obvious to you, but it's screaming obvious to them. God put in us what's called a conscience, your conscience. Now, understand, everybody has a conscience. They start with one, at least. Everybody has a conscience, and if you go find a little baby from Iran or a little baby from Zimbabwe, or you get a little baby from Brazil, or you get a little baby from the United States, you will find that little baby by the time they're 5 or 6 can say, oh, and know some things are wrong, even if they never heard the Bible. They'll kind of know some things are wrong because they have a conscience, and that is built into them. And I want to show you that in Romans chapter 2. God put a conscience. It's like a soul nerve, a moral nerve that kind of touches you. Now, it is not the Holy Spirit of God. It's not this conscience is not as sensitive as the conscience of a Christian will be when they are saved and listening to God. But it's a basic conscience, it's a basic morality, it's a basic thing that's something in them that says, I shouldn't be doing this. It makes a kid know when they should look over their shoulder and see if mom's watching, even when they're 2 years old. They just have it in them. It's built in. And that conscience does that to us. And Romans chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. So the law of God is written in their hearts, and we have a conscience that says what's right and wrong. Most people would understand that murder is wrong. Most people don't. Now, not everybody will eventually, but it's built in, and you can ruin your conscience, but it's kind of built into you. And we can all have a conscience, and we can all have that and have it right. The problem is that there's damages that we'll go through that can happen to the conscience. And you see those things, and you kind of wonder about it. I mean, I remember looking at a magazine, and it talked about Afghanistan. And they showed a picture of a young lady who wasn't a good wife and didn't want, she was in an arranged marriage when she was very young, and she was like 12 or 13. And anyway, she wasn't a good wife. I think she tried to run away. And they cut her nose off and her ears off for that. And you think, doesn't the people who are cutting her nose and ears off think, this is out of line? But you know what? They do it publicly with no shame. They don't feel bad about it. You ever wonder when you hear about a gruesome murder or something like that, who has the baby here? Who has her? We need, Mama, can you keep the baby with you, Cher? She just kind of wandered around waving at everybody. And Alicia, can you grab your sister? Just walk down there and grab her. Just walk down there and grab her. Alicia, there we go. And somebody needs to grab her. You hear about these things. You hear about some gruesome mass murder. You hear about some terrible thing that happened. And you hear about somebody goes and does some terrible, look up me, I'm more interested in the baby. You hear about some terrible, terrible crime. And you say, how can a person do that? Because there is a long process of evil and terrible. And when people harm children and do all these things. And you, who's conscious a certain way, say, how can they possibly do that? And you, of course, serial murders, mass murders, and all kinds of, and Hitler. And how did they get the German soldiers to go and put Jews in ovens? By the millions. Because that conscience can eventually go away, and the conscience can be seared. And by the way, there was points in my life where I did things where now I cringe to think of them, but when I did them, I didn't think anything wrong of it. That was just what you did. That's what everybody did. And my conscience didn't convict me, and I didn't see anything wrong with it, and the conscience was not convicting me. But the Bible says it's written in your heart. There was a certain level of morality. There's certain things that I had in my morality as an unsaved person that I wouldn't do and I thought were wrong. Okay? And all of us have that. That's built into us. There's a basic set of morality. And by the way, that's why we're without excuse, because we know we broke God's law, even if we never saw a Bible. We know we're guilty. And so we see that. Romans 1 talks about that, and they are without excuse because God's put knowledge of him in himself. But then we have this conscience that gets wrong sometimes. I look at the Inquisition. And the Inquisition with the Catholics and what they started doing to the Protestant Christians, and the way that they didn't just put them in jail. They murdered their entire family in front of them. They burned them to death. They pulled them into pieces with horses. I read about the iron bowl that they used to put the Christians in the third and fourth centuries when they were persecuting Christians, and they would put a Christian inside of this bowl, and it was like a bull, like the animal, a bull, a camel, cow with horns, and they'd put these Christians and lock them inside of this metal bowl. They didn't light a fire underneath of it, and they'd all laugh while the person screamed, like the sound was coming out of the bowl, while they burnt to death touching this metal while it was heated up underneath them. And you just think that. And by the way, they do it in the middle of the stadium with tens of thousands of people watching, laughing at the sounds coming out of the bowl at this Christian burning to death. Nero lit his garden with human Christian candles. He put kerosene on their heads and lit them on fire, and their heads were the wick. And people can get gruesome and terrible and dark and evil, and they don't even notice it. soldiers will tell you, you snap at a certain point in close, terrible conflict, and you quit thinking like a human, and you just kill. You disconnect yourself. You let your conscience go away because your conscience is a dangerous thing in certain circumstances, and that can happen in different things like that. And you see that. Good, well, Pastor, my conscience isn't that bad. I'm not one. I would never let them cut their ears off. I would never go put the Jews in the oven. I'd never do that. And I'm glad. That's good. Most of us are influenced by, in a general sense, a conscience society. In America, if you're on the side of the road bleeding to death, somebody's going to come by and help you. Most people would not let you attack a child in America. If most people saw you doing what some of the atrocities just talked about, they would stop you, the police would stop you, you'd be in the news, everyone would say you're a bad, terrible person, because we have a Judeo-Christian culture that's been influenced in that way. And so we see that. However, we find that a holy God has right and wrong, but I find that our conscience, though, they don't go to that depth. And that's good. I'm glad they don't. They can start going there. You know, a lot of people used to think that boxing is wrong, just watching a couple people beat themselves, beat each other up. And then, well, that wasn't quite violent enough, and so now we have a real fighting. The MMA stuff and all that stuff like that. And it's going to get worse because the human condition is never satisfied. It's going to get more and more violent. But when the MMA and the real fighting came out, most people thought that was like, ugh, that's kind of wrong. That's not wrong. People really fighting and really beating each other up like that. But now it's pretty accepted and it's pretty much mainstream now. And there'll be another level. And at each step we say, that'd be wrong. But understand, when, let's take entertainment, when movies first came out, I told you before, there was a big to-do about Gone with the Wind because an unmarried couple kissed each other. I have a very old book written in the 40s by a man who says, I predict that someday you will have on movies a couple in bed together and even kissing and doing things in bed. Okay? He said, you should never go. They called it picture shows back then. You should never go to a picture show. They're already, you can see where it's going. They already have unmarried people embracing and kissing. And so their conscience right then that an unmarried couple would kiss each other, they were shocked. And they said, you shouldn't watch that stuff. Do you know what Christians watch today? Let's not talk about kissing. That, if that's all they did now, no problem. I would be happy if that's all they ever. If they just saw them sitting in bed together reading the paper, no problem. I mean, folks, Christians today, the statistics are amazing on how many of them watch full nudity movies. I mean, bad things, cussing, and they think nothing of it. Yet, I can't watch that. I can't listen to that without my conscience saying, you can't do that. That's one reason I don't put cable TV in my house. That's one reason I don't want the temptation there to even start, because I know a good pastor who started just watching a little more, and pretty soon one day he realized every time his kids were coming into the room, he's turning off the TV. And then one day, he kept doing that for a while, and then one day, it was just vile and wicked and totally R-rated, bad, terrible stuff, and it just hit him, what am I watching here? I didn't realize how gradually this happened. And so your conscience can have damage to it. It's kind of like a shirt. You get a white shirt, and it's white, and you wear it, and it's still white, and you wear it, and it's still white. And after a while, it looks still white, doesn't it? Until you put it next to a new white shirt. And then it doesn't look so white anymore. You know what I'm talking about? It looked really clear. You just hold it up, and it looks white. Sometimes I'll look at paper. I was buying paper this week for the church, and sometimes it's off-white paper and it looks white until you put it next to white paper. And you say, this isn't quite white, but you don't have anything to compare it to, and you just get used to it. When I would work a job where I got really dirty, and I worked some pretty dirty jobs, I would not realize how dirty I was because everybody I was around and everything around was dirty all day until I got somewhere that was really clean. All of a sudden, I'm like, I am filthy. I can't touch anything. Because it was like that. You don't notice your car is real dirty until you have to get somebody into it. And you're just sitting there going, my car's not too bad. You don't even notice it. You don't notice what it looks like. You don't notice the garbage. You don't notice the smell. You don't notice anything. All of a sudden, you can put somebody in it. You open the door and you go, oh, my soul. Hey, hold on a minute. Tuck it under the seats and hide it and throw it in the trunk. And you go crazy because why? Because you didn't really notice it. You just got used to it. The human condition is such you can get used to anything and not notice it and tolerate it and be used to it. You can really stink and not know you stink. We have a witness here, and not notice it because you're used to it. You're used to it. You can sometimes listen to something and not think there's anything wrong with it until somebody who's godly gets in the car with you and they hear it, or they see it and you're embarrassed all of a sudden because all of a sudden the comparison came back and you said, "Whoa, wait a minute, this is kind of I didn't think about it." Why? Because our conscience can get cold, and the white shirt looks white, but it's not white anymore because of the relativism of what we're used to. Understand, you are drawn so far, and I'm drawn so far this way out here into unholiness all the time that you might find out that you think your conscience is good and clear and right and it's well-adjusted, but you might find out that if all of a sudden you were transported back 150 years, the Christians would be aghast at you. And you might find that if you stood in front of God, you'd say, oh, my soul, I'm so ashamed. What was I doing? But the best way to not do that is to go ahead and have your conscience clear ahead of time and try to keep it right. And so I want to give you just what can happen to our conscience. Let me just take you a few verses. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to just give you a few verses here about our conscience, about what's right and wrong. I know that thus saith the Lord is right and wrong, and we understand that, but I just want to talk about our conscience and keeping it right. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. All right, did you ever get around somebody after you cleaned up your life a little bit and you used to hang around them and you didn't notice they cussed, but then you changed and all of a sudden it's like, can you stop? It's every other word. It always was every other word. But you didn't notice it before because you used to be every other word with them. And you cussed with them and you said bad things with them. And because your conscience got used to it. And by the way, I want to tell you, I, as a pastor of this church, when I started this church, working a dock with a bunch of dock hands, I heard the trash all night long. And guess what? When I first got there, I just got out of Bible college and I was like, oh, man, well, it's terrible. After a while, I didn't even notice it because all the time. And it's not good. You can get used to stuff and get, now that is what I hear. That's what goes on. But guess what? It gets in my mind and then it's closer to my lips. Now I didn't cuss, but however, when all of a sudden I stubbed my toe or hit my thumb, it was a lot closer than it was when I didn't hear it much. And when you hear it and hear it and hear it and see it and see it, as it said about just Lot, they vexed his righteous soul from day to day. And so you get used to the stuff and you get used to hearing it, and it doesn't seem bad. Why? Because your conscience is seared with a hot iron. It's like your nerves get cut off. They burnt your nerves off, and now you don't feel anymore. And this hot iron of sin in our culture and the hot iron of immorality is so intense that we watch shows of people getting murdered all day long, and we watch terrible things and say, that's all terrible. And then something that maybe is wrong and bad, it's not that terrible, I understand, in our eyes, but it's wrong. But you know what? We're looking at that, and that heat of that intense sin we see all the time is so bad that we think what we do is not that bad because we're comparing. And our conscience are seared with a hot iron, and we don't feel anymore. You burn those nerve ends off, and then they don't feel anymore. And can I say this? You watch enough junk and watch enough bad stuff, it doesn't even affect you, and you don't even notice that it's bad anymore, and it's just the norm. People, I tell you this, I can tell you for a fact, I know people who live together in fornication, and it's a sin, and it's filthy in God's sight. They do not think a bit of guilt about it. They're just used to it. Because their conscience is seared at the hot iron. Now, people ought to feel guilt for that stuff. But they don't because their conscience gets wrong. And all the sin. Go back to Ephesians. Your conscience, first of all, can be seared. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 19, this is where you really get to the end of your conscience. It says, "Who?" This is Ephesians 4:19, "who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness." Notice that, being past feeling. They don't even feel it anymore. They're past feeling. That's who is putting Jews in ovens. That's what the Taliban is. They don't care who they kill. They don't care who they torture, gang rape, slaughter. It doesn't matter. It's their past feeling. They don't feel bad anymore. They justify whatever they do, and they are so used to doing terrible, immoral things, and that they did the Hitler's. Hitler did not feel guilty anymore. Their past feeling. That's when your conscience has been destroyed and ruined and slaughtered, and you don't feel anything anymore. And then, and by the way, you occasionally, if you watch real carefully, you'll meet those people. I meet him sometime, and I just look at him and say, if you had the opportunity to murder and get something out of it, you'd do it. You're just cold. You're just hard. You have no feeling. You have no conscience. It's just a matter of not getting caught for you. And with, that's the end of that thing. And so we can be past feeling. Next, we can have a weak conscience. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. A weak conscience that gets defiled very easily. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. "Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol under the sour eat the thing offered an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled." And so they have a weak conscience that gets defiled very easily. Hebrews chapter 3, and another thing that can happen is our conscience can be hardened. Stay with me here. We've said our conscience can be seared. They can be past feeling. We can have weak consciences, and we can be hardened in Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 13, "But exhort one another daily what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." You can become hard. Listen, I want you to know, I've become hard. I don't mean I became wicked, terrible, evil, and did all. I'm just saying there are times my heart was very tender where God just whispered and I said, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry." And there's times where I was harder. My heart was harder. My conscience was harder, and through the deceitfulness of sin. And I just want to tell you, I am shocked because people I love and people I've known and people who are wonderful people, they started through sin and they let sin in their life as a Christian. And I'm not talking about an unsaved person, I'm talking about a Christian, and they became hard, and they were like a different person. And it's very sad to see that. And I want you to know that can happen to you or I. We can become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know what? You won't even feel upset when you sin anymore. You won't feel bad about what you do. You'll go and not pray and not feel a thing about it. Where when you're a new Christian, you felt very convicted about that. You can skip church and not feel a thing about it. But why? Because you become hardened through sin, and it hardens your conscience. So your conscience is not tender. It's calloused. And you don't feel the things you would have felt before because sin hardens you. I'm going to read this verse again because one of the points later goes to it. I'm not going to turn back to it. It says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Notice that it says, if you deal with today, what you're supposed to do and hear his voice, then you won't become hardened. We'll get back to that later. And next, our conscience, the one that is the most in the realm of what I'm talking about here is in Titus. The most common one in the realm I'm talking about today is Titus. It's before Hebrews. And Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled." Did you notice in Hebrews 3 it also said, "Lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, and thereby many be defiled"? Here it says, their mind and their conscience are defiled. The word defiled, it means to taint or contaminate. Taint or contaminate. In other words, your conscience is supposed to be white and tender and responsive to what's wrong. It suddenly becomes tainted and you are no longer right, and your conscience is off-colored, and it's not quite right. When I was in Chicago, I saw so many bad things, and I was working at night in the murder capital of America. I was working on weekends in terrible projects in just the worst areas in America, day and night, and I was around those areas. And I got so used to seeing bad things that I just plain old didn't get moved by them anymore. I would see somebody drunk. I would see them passed out. I'd see them laying there in the doorway, and I wouldn't even check to see they're breathing. I would see someone else. I mean, I saw a guy one time. He was standing on the side of the street just drunk. And I remember him just swaying and swaying and swaying. And then he fell flat on his face out in the street, right in his face. Never caught himself. Flat in his face, right in the street. And I just kept on driving. I saw head-on wrecks. I said, boy, that was a bad one. I talked to a girl one time in Cabrini Greens, the worst projects in America. I remember talking to this girl. We had a church service out there. And they got talking about the guy who got shot the other day. And this girl was like, oh, that was nasty. His brains were all over the ground. The other one says, oh, I saw that. That was bad. And they just talked about it. They saw that stuff all the time. And they were used to it, where if a normal kid saw a man's brains all over the ground next to him, they would be shocked and aghast and traumatized. These kids just talked about it like, ooh, you know, there's a slug over there and that guy's brains are on the ground. It wasn't that big a deal. Because they're so used to it, because eventually your conscience becomes tainted. If you rob enough people, when you rob somebody, it won't bother you anymore if you continue to rob people. And it won't get to you anymore, and it won't bother you anymore, and it won't be a problem anymore. It'll just rob people, and that's what you do. And as you continue to do bad things, you'll get used to them. And your conscience becomes tainted. It won't bother you to cuss anymore. It won't bother you when you skip church. It won't bother you if you don't read your Bible. It won't bother you if you're mean to your spouse. It won't bother you if you're abusive to your kids. That's just what you do, and you've excused it, and your conscience is tainted. And don't think that this stuff can't happen to you. You will talk yourself into it. You'll justify drugs. You'll justify doing bad things. You'll justify all kinds of things. And eventually your conscience becomes tainted, it said. It's defiled. It's contaminated. And it does that. And we eventually see that. So how do we check our conscience? First of all, it says today, daily. Here's what happens. You do something wrong, and you check yourself today and see if you're right. Because if you do wrong and you do wrong and you do wrong and you say, someday I'm going to get this right, you do it for a week and 2 weeks and a month and 2 months and 3 months, pretty soon you're going to find yourself hardened. And you won't feel bad about it. If you think you're going to feel as bad over here as you felt over here, you're wrong. You'll be hardened through sin. And it'll be very hard because you think, oh, I feel bad about this. I'm just going to do it for a while longer. Then I'm going to quit. You understand, you're not going to feel bad about it over here like you did before. Because your conscience gets tainted. That's why if you hear his voice today, harden not your heart. Why? Because you got to listen. That's why we have an invitation, by the way. We say, come on down. If God spoke to your heart, come down and get right with God today. Why? Because if you say, you know, I probably should do that, but I'm sitting too close to somebody and I got to get by him and what people think of me, you're going to go back and you're not. And by next Sunday, you might not even hear God's voice on it anymore. Your conscience might already be too hard. Saul did it. And Saul became a guy who went around trying to murder people all day because he let it go and let his bitterness dwell and let it have there. Next, let's go to Acts chapter 24. Acts 24. We're flying along in this message. It's not going to be a long message tonight. Acts 24. And verse 16. What do we do? First of all, we deal with it today. When God speaks, we say, yes, Lord. We respond to it quickly. Acts 24, verse 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Very simply, keep your conscience right with people. Sometimes you'll say, you know, this happened to me recently. It happened to me with one of my kids. I just talked to one of my kids just harshly, and I was just kind of, I don't know, I was mad. I was just blunt and in a hurry. And I just said, da 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 da, and walked off. And they went off and dealt with this. And I just said something too harshly and too blunt. And my conscience smote me. And I said, you know what? That sounded really cold and mean. And I didn't really mean it that way. I just said it way too harsh and bluntly. And I just had to do a U-turn and go back and say, you know what? I'm sorry. That probably sounded really bad, didn't it? And that's what happens. And so I went and got that right then. When God comes and says, hey, how about this thing? Hear his voice right then. He says, I always keep that conscience void of offense towards God and man. All the time, staying on top of it along the same thing. So if we want to do this, first of all, we deal with everything today. Number two, remove all offenses that you know. So you say, I'm not a cold person. I'm not a hard person. I can still listen to God and respond. Is there any offense between you and God, or any offense between you and a man or anybody that you know of? And you say, yes, but it's not a big deal and I'm not hard yet. Understand, Paul always kept himself void of. And sometimes you just have to call somebody and say, you know what, this is stupid, you probably don't remember this, but you know what, I feel like I did something wrong with you, and I want to clear this thing. Always, 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 it is a big deal to have an offense between you and God. It is a big deal to have an offense between you and man. It is a big deal. Keep it always removed. Always take care of those things. When your conscience is saying this is wrong, and then the Bible says keep your conscience void of offense, just deal with the thing. Deal with the thing. And sometimes you call somebody, you just apologize to them, and they're still going to cuss you out. You're going to call them and say, what are you blank, blank, blank? You say, I just want to tell you, I feel like I didn't treat you right. I'm sorry for this and this, and I'm sorry for what my part of it. And they're going to say, you blank, blank, I don't care. Well, you got rid of your side of the offense. You can't do anything about them. You deal with your side of the offense. Go ahead and work on that thing, or just try to see if it works, because we'll finish up the sermon, and we'll work on it. Actually, wait a couple minutes and then we'll try it. You can turn it on your computer. So we see that, and we want to keep our conscience void. The next point I really want to talk to you about, the most of all the points, the last one is just a real brief one, but it's important. This one here, I want to say this. Fast from it. Fast from something. A guy taught me this in Bible college. He's a good guy, real good guy. He's a pastor now in Ohio. Good friend of mine. He said, he grew up in the 70s. He said, I had a bunch of music that I like, and I listened to this music, and I thought there's nothing wrong with it. And a guy in my youth pastor preached on it and said, you shouldn't be listening to your rock music. And he says, I thought there is nothing wrong with my music. I'm not listening to bad music. It's really mild stuff. And he says, I'm listening to it. And he even named the groups. He said it was Styx and Rush and all these real mild 70 groups. And he says, there is nothing wrong with those things. And he said that he preached, and I said, that didn't seem wrong at all to me. And so, And his youth pastor said, you know what, I really think they're wrong, and I'm surprised you don't think they're wrong. He was a newer Christian, and his family had gotten saved and gone to church. And so he said, you know what, the youth pastor says, do me a favor, don't listen to it for a month. And then go back to it. He said, all right, this will be hard, but I can do it. He got away for 1 month. He didn't listen to his old music. Remember, he didn't feel anything bad about it at all. He didn't listen to it at all for a month. He got away from it, a month later, put it back in his player, and listened to it and said, this stuff's wicked. What was I listening to? Now, some things you'll do that with, and you won't think they're wicked. But if you get away from it for a while, and you go back to it, and all of a sudden you're shocked. You know what I did this? I'll tell you that I did this with, I went to Bible college, no TV, none, zero, nothing. Went to Bible college. Then I went and got married. No TV. 6 years. No TV. Relative thought my kids would be strange if they didn't have a TV, so they gave us a TV. Little tiny TV. There was all these shows that I watched in the 80s that I thought were so cute and innocent. And you know, they really, I'm not talking about bad, bad, bad shows. And we put those on, my wife and I. We said, oh my soul. I didn't realize that was that bad. You know how many shows I watched as a kid and didn't understand all the innuendos and all the things that were going on in those shows? And how many shows that I watch a lot worse than that. 10 times worse than that. These are things that I thought were innocent and good and clean. I mean, I'm talking, I went back to, you know, risque things that I thought, maybe this is clean or not. I'm talking things that my wife and I thought, man, this is the cute little show. And all of a sudden, watching, said, there's a lot of bad things in this show. We're really shocked at this. But we had gotten away from it for so long. We had got away from evil for so long, and all of a sudden we got around it. And you know what? It's really hard to find anything that's really, truly clean. I mean, it's pretty tough. I mean, you know, I mean, there's things like that. And there's, you know, Little House in the Prairie. But, I mean, there's not a lot out there. You say, I don't feel bad about watching my show, you know. Okay. Do me a favor. Just spend a month with the Lord. Don't watch TV at all. Don't check your email, okay? Just that. And go back and look at that stuff again after you spend a moment with the Lord and just see. And maybe you won't think anything's wrong of it, but your conscience might be getting seared. So get away from something. And you say, well, I just can't stop doing it. Then it's a sin. I will not be brought under the power of any, the Bible says. Not anything that you can't stop for Jesus is a sin. Give it up. Get up for a while. You'll find that a lot of the stuff, you might just not think anything of it, but a Christian from 100 years ago might. Because they just haven't heard all you've heard and seen all you've seen. And by the way, this is true with clothing. I don't dress as bad as some women. Good night. Congratulations. That's not a big achievement. It's like saying, I haven't murdered as many people as Charles Manson. I'm just a light murderer. I mean, come on. Listen, a lot of people say my clothing is not that bad. It's not as bad as what everybody else is wearing. How about if God's standards say the same for the last 1,000 years? What if God doesn't change and say, okay, I know it's pretty immodest and pretty low cut, but at least it's not as bad as... See, a lot of people's dress standards are just, I'm not as bad as somebody else. You might find out that you're wrong. That it's wrong, and don't just base it on what you've seen. And last thing I want to say, if you want to make sure your conscience is right, these are just ideas. I'm not saying everything we're doing is wrong. It's not. Everything we're not doing isn't wrong. But the last thing I want to say is get in the presence of God. Get in the presence of God. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah came in the presence of God. In the year of, this is Isaiah 6, 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, one that had 6 wings, and 20 covered his face, and the 20 covered his feet, and with 20 did fly. And one cried another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me! For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Listen, Isaiah was probably a lot cleaner than any of us. And yet he got in God's presence, and the holiness of God shined on him, and the light shined on him. And he said, I am wicked. Now, he probably didn't think that when he was just around his wicked country, because this country was wicked. But in the presence of God... We could read John chapter 1 and John chapter 3. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Neither would they come to the light that their deeds might be made manifest. See, when you get in the presence of God and you really get close to God and you really spend some time where you're really there at the throne of grace talking to the God of the universe, I can just tell you from personal testimony, sometimes the Lord just starts saying, hey, there's some things I want to talk to you about why everything's clear. And you see clearly. And all of a sudden you, and I say that somebody who doesn't think there's any problem of being worldly, I say they're not ever in the presence of God. Because you're in the presence of God, you see yourself as you are. And he said, you see he said, I see my people that I dwell around is also unclean. And so I just want to say, get in the presence of God. Deal with your conscience today and say, you know what? My conscience might be defiled. It might not be clean. And I want to say this. Please don't misunderstand this message. I'm not saying that because you're bad people. You're probably a lot cleaner than they are in the world. You're probably more clean than most Christians. And maybe I'm more clean than most Christians in those ways. But I want to say, I'm saying this because all of us might have a conscience that's seared a little bit, and we need to go back and make sure our conscience is not seared or warped or burned or anything else where we're just not seen right. And what happens is we go through life thinking we were doing okay. We die. We stand in front of God and say, I didn't realize how defiled that was. No wonder I didn't have God's presence. I didn't even think this is wrong, God. He says, I know. Your conscience was defiled by the culture you're in. I don't want that to happen. I want to know ahead of time. And so I want to be in God's presence and keep my soul always, because you say, well, I just can't get it right with my sister and I'm not going to even talk to her ever again and try to even apologize for what I did wrong. You might not understand. That might be affecting the way you see purity in some other area because your conscience through that is getting defiled. You've let the impurities in. and it comes out in another way. So you must pay attention to your conscience, get in God's presence, get away from things for a while, see if they're clean and right, and they might be, and remove all offenses and deal with things daily. And if you do that, by the way, why do you think I've told you a lot of times I read books like this, published in 1932? Because I know that books in a Christian bookstore today are defiled. I'm just telling you, I read them. I've read them. I've had them. I've been given them by a million people. And they are tainted with worldliness. And the conscience are so light about sin and immorality and God's idea. I mean, yes, they're better than the world. But what happened is the world and Christianity and the world were separated. And they kept separated. But the world got worse. And now the world's way over here. And now the church is here saying, I'm not as bad as the world. But you're worse than the world was. Because your gauge is wrong. Your shirt is not white like you think it is. You're not comparing it to a new shirt. You're comparing it to a bunch of sewage worker shirts and say your shirt's white. But when you go to the ball, you're going to be embarrassed. And so you want to go and check it. I read things that are older because there was a pure culture then. And some people who didn't think they had to be like the world to reach the world. And they knew God, and they prayed for hours. And so we want to go and have that conscience as void of offense. Checking your conscience. I just want to talk tonight about how to check your conscience. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we check our conscience. I pray that we'd have a conscience void of offense that's not burned or seared or defiled or hardened, Lord. I pray it'd be a tender conscience. I pray that you'd tell us today through your Spirit if our consciences aren't right. And we'd be willing to stop some things and try getting away from them and things, Lord, and help us be careful with our consciences. And we just pray for your help in these areas in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Just